Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one U.S. senator think about the impeachment hearings and more? Let's go in-depth with Senator Chuck Grassley.
Dr. Bob, I'm ready.
How are you, Senator?
Glad to be with you again.
Well, let's just get right to it. I'm always happy to have you on the show. Why don't you tell us your perspective on the impeachment hearings?
I might hit it from a couple different angles. Number one, you know, I get back to Iowa every weekend, and what I hear from Iowans, prescription drugs, USMCA, China trade a little bit, more recently, the shortage of LP gas for corn drying. I don't hear much about impeachment. I compliment the Democrats for getting out of the basement of the Capitol building and getting in public. They probably want us to think that this is a very appropriate impeachment proceedings, but if you compare it to Nixon's and to Clinton's, it's not the same. One time the Democrats were in the minority, one time Republicans were in the minority, but each time that they had these hearings for Nixon and for Clinton, the White House was able to cross-examine. The minority had an opportunity to have their people come and testify, and Schiff runs everything, and Republicans aren't going to get that same consideration. So it's not following precedent. Now, does it have to follow precedent? No, it doesn't have to. The Constitution doesn't say much about the impeachment. So the House can do almost everything they want to do, but that's the precedent of the two recent impeachments. And I think it's not really, you don't have to have strict due process, but if you wanted to have strict due process, this is a far cry from it. Then the last thing I would say is, regardless of how strong of a case or how weak of a case they present, the Democrats are going to have articles of impeachment. I don't think that their base will accept anything less. Because if you look at how the parties line up for impeachment or against it, the base of the Republican Party, not quite as strong as the Democrats' base, is for impeachment. But overwhelmingly, both political parties at the grassroots have laid down their position very strongly. And so I think the Democrats have to go, regardless of what their rationale might be in the end.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that the rules and regulations and the basic groundwork for the impeachment process, they were put into place by Republicans. Is that incorrect?
Well, I think that you'd say that they were both in a bipartisan, pretty much. What I've read about the history, and this is something you pick up here recently, because I don't have memories even when I was here. I don't have much recollection even when Clinton was. But going back to Nixon, it seemed to me like there was really a great deal of cooperation. So when the Republicans were running it in Clinton or the Democrats were running it in Nixon, in both cases, I think they had great bipartisan cooperation. In fact, you hear a lot about Rodino being chair of the Judiciary Committee in that Nixon hearing, that he went out of his way to make sure that there was bipartisan cooperation.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. One of the things that we keep hearing is that Republicans want to talk process, when really there's a lot of substance in the, and talking process is a distraction when you have a lot of different State Department officials and now even a Pence staffer coming forward saying that the phone call with the Ukrainian president was quid pro quo, demanding investigation into the Bidens in return for the money to go to the Ukraine. And so what do you say to that?
I think that any lawyer would tell you that what you said is probably right if you have a weaker case. I don't happen to think Republicans have a weak case, but if you lawyers would tell you that that if you got a weak case, you talk about process. But on the other hand, you just quoted somebody in this administration. You got to read what Morrison said, that there wasn't any quid pro quo, or that there was anything illegal in the telephone conversation. So he was one of those that was involved in it, too.
Well, certainly. What do you think about, did you listen to Ambassador Yovanovitch's testimony regarding this situation?
It's the only one that I was able to watch. I did that, not entirely, but I did it for a couple hours on Friday, but not... but not all, not 2 hours in a row, a cumulative time of 2 hours. The impression I get is that she is a very qualified in her profession. Nobody can take that away from her. I mean, she's been ambassador, I think, in two or three countries, and all that. But she left in May, and this telephone conversation didn't take place until July 25th. So her information about the phone call is secondhand. I think this week we'll get some firsthand information on the phone call, but everything you've heard up till now has been secondhand. And you can say hearsay and all that sort of stuff. I don't want to generalize, but that's what I'm reading that other people have said.
One of the acting ambassador to the Ukraine staffers, he did overhear the conversation, and so there has been firsthand reporting.
Well, I heard exactly what you said, and I've heard it now. You're the second time I've heard that. But they were at that table. I don't know whether that qualifies for firsthand or not, but if they didn't have a telephone to their ear, I'd say it's secondhand. And the guy was talking on the cell phone.
Right, which would seem pretty odd for the president to be talking to Ambassador Sondland to the European Union via cell phone over the at a restaurant. I'm not sure the president knew that's exactly what was happening. But it seems like when Ambassador Sondland comes on this week, that could be, I don't know, a turning point in this whole investigation. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, I think that you got to raise the question, how credible he is, though, when he changed his first statement that was made in secret, he added to it later on.
You're willing to?
But can I raise a question to you? You and I are having this discussion. Does it really matter much when the president has shared the transcript with everybody, and when the Ukrainians say that they're that they weren't pressured to do it, and the aid was finally given, and we have never had an announcement of the investigation? So you talk about quid pro quo. There's surely a quid because they got their aid, and there's no pro because I haven't heard that they're actually doing any investigation.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Do you think that Rudy Giuliani is an asset or a detriment to the president?
A detriment.
Tell us why you think that.
Well, I say it's a detriment the way that he's handling himself on this particular issue. I think he's he's not only a qualified politician, but he's probably a pretty good lawyer. And I think that that is just the way he handled this whole thing. But also, I think it, you know, don't read into that, that it's unusual to have a president use a private citizen to do a lot of foreign affairs stuff. Who's the FDR had some private citizen that was living in London doing all of his communication to Winston Churchill, and he was not a member of the State Department or the Defense Department. He was a private citizen. I can't think of his name, but he would be famous in history. So, you know, it's not unusual to have a private citizen do those things. Just think that George Washington took John Jay, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, asked him to go and negotiate the Jay Treaty with Britain.
Well, yes, but I presume that those individuals were operating in the best interest of the United States. And when the State Department officials that I've seen on TV are saying that what Rudy Giuliani was doing was a shadow foreign policy effort that was working against the interests of the United States. And those are career State Department people appointed by Republicans.
Yeah. If you see this issue through the prism of the president... only motive was to have an investigation of Biden for political purposes, then I would agree with you. If you see this as an effort for the president before he gives $440 million of military aid to Russia, or I mean to Ukraine, to make sure that it isn't going to be fraudulently used by the Ukrainians, because there's so much undercover, under-the-table stuff going on over there, then I think that's an entirely different story. And don't ask me to sort it out at this point.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait for the, you know, for the people that are, I don't know, in Congress, at least in the House, to be able to sort this out.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to pose something to you.
I'm going to accept your thing. I just wanted to say that because we're getting close to the quarter hour or three quarter hour, I'm going to have to go after this question.
Okay. So, Senator, this just seems to most of us to be about politics and the retention of power and not about really what's best for the American people. And that if this were a President Clinton or Obama, that you would have found a number of these instances, if they would have done what President Trump has done, you'd have found those impeachable offenses, and I'm thinking that you and a lot of other Republicans would be outraged. And the same kinds of things hold for when the Democrats are now in power. Isn't it time to just admit this is all about power and not necessarily about what is necessarily best for the American people? It sure seems like it from here.
Well, I'll accept your premise. If you will accept the premise that what's going on in the House of Representatives is about power, too.
Yes, I will. Yeah, let's just get right to it. This is just about the retention of power. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. The facts at hand, anything that's necessarily best for the American people. Is it just about power?
Well, I'm not sure I want to end up there. But when you, I'm reminding you about the power that the Democrats might want to be up to as well. And I think I've got 3 years of history behind me that we can't, that we only have about 3 months of history in regard to the president's telephone call. I can show you a headline in the Washington Post the morning of the president's inauguration, January 20th, 2017, that there's a movement to impeach the president. So they've been trying to impeach this president since day one. So they're even worse than just trying to accumulate power. They're trying to undo the election that took place in 2016, according to the Constitution.
So let's just not leave it on the Democrats. On the Republican side, is it all about power and not about the truth as well?
Well, I'm not sure. I think I better back up and say I'll accept your premise if you'll accept my premise, because I think we're both stretching it a little bit further than we should.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.